The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome into the Play Action Podcast, where we'll start off with a bit of bad news, unfortunately. Yeah. Ed Oliver tore his bicep against the Carolina Panthers. That's a huge blow for the Bills, for the defensive tackle himself. I mean, he was giving so much to this team. Lance, where do you see this going with this being out indefinitely?
Yeah, the position is suddenly in need ahead of the trade deadline. Does it become at the top of Brandon Bean's shopping list? We're going to find out in the coming days before next Tuesday, but it's big. You saw just the immediate impact he had, especially in that Carolina game. Yeah, I mean, he was disruptive. He's, you know, if not their best defensive lineman, then their second best. But it's a lot more on Deion Walker. Jordan Phillips was signed to the 53-man roster. You know, they're still without Daquan Jones and TJ Sanders. So that position was already hit hard with injuries, and now it just got a lot worse.
I know. I feel like every time we go into the season, it's like Brandon Bean and his 10,000 defensive linemen. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're down so thin at defensive tackle in particular. He's having surgery. He posted that he'll be back for the Super Bowl is what he implied. I don't know that the timeline will exactly work. That's a tough recovery. We'll see.
Yeah.
Out indefinitely is what we're hearing from the team. But, you know, the trickle-down effect is kind of where do they go from here?
Yeah, and how it affects the other positions on that defensive line.
Exactly.
You know, Bobby Babbage pointed out that Larry Ogunjobi, who came back from that 6-game suspension, that against Carolina, he did a lot of things that didn't show up in the box score that you wouldn't have really seen firsthand unless you watch the video after the fact. So they have him. That's good. He's back. And another big piece of this is Michael Hoyt. They move him around. We saw that in that game. You know, one of the sacks that the Bills had, Hoyt rushed the middle of you know, the Panthers offensive line, completely disrupted what they were doing, and it led to a sack. So he's going to get moved around. We'll see what it means in terms of them adding players, but they really need Deion Walker to continue to ascend the way that he has. If he can keeps this up, then they can cover for that loss. But schematically and the timing of this with the Chiefs in town, yeah, it's not great.
No, I think facing Kansas City, which we will touch on a ton in this podcast, you know, that's not when you want this. There's not a good time for it, frankly,
yeah,
but this is, you know, so troubling. I think, though, just the way Deion Walker has ascended, I think he's been a very pleasant surprise of this draft class.
Yeah, no, he's when he's not making plays against the run, he's taking up two blockers. There's some rawness to his game, which is what everybody expected, especially the injury he had last season and coming back from it, adjusting to the NFL. But he's been their most impactful draft pick. And now, really, it's how has the rest of the defense helped them compensate for what they lost? Now, they actually had a couple of coverage sacks against the Panthers, so that's promising. And a big piece of that, Catherine, is Maxwell Harrison's back.
Yeah.
And he looks really good for a player who'd miss as much time as he had. Now, this is going to be a bigger test this week against Kansas City. But if they shore up that secondary, it's only going to help that pass rush because we know that Sean McDermott doesn't like the blitz.
We hear him talk all the time about Russian coverage. My transcription sometimes picks it up as Russian coverage, which is a different thing. But I would say just kind of to your point, you know, if they're able to get that secondary where they want it to be, there's some pieces in flux there too. You know, Jordan Poyer also now signed to the 53-man roster. They're running back the old guys. But it's what they need to do. They're so injured across this defense with Taylor Rapp now on injured reserve as well. But I think Maxwell Harrison was a bright spot of, you know, there were a lot of bright spots, frankly, in the 40-9 win over the Panthers. But I think just his caliber of play and how quickly he was able to ramp up bodes really well for this team.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see how they deployed some of those pieces in the secondary. Jordan Hancock, their rookie, played some on third down. So we'll see if we continue. You know, if that trend continues, get him on there and obvious passing downs, an athletic guy who has experience playing corner, so he can cover in space, which is what Sean McDermott really likes from safeties.
Yes.
Cole Bishop looked a lot better for the most part. I think that personally, I think that he's not somebody to really worry about. He's going to continue to improve with more experience. It's just how much do they use Harrison? You know, what do they get? You know, this is a receiving core for Kansas City that's very fast. There's a lot of speed.
Yeah.
You know, part of that is going to be stopping Rashee Rice, but most of his work has been within the, you know, a couple of yards of the line of scrimmage, and he does a lot of damage yards after the catch. Well, that happens to be one of the Bills' strengths in terms of what they've done against the passing game. So this matchup, how they, you know, can they continue to stop the run the way they did in Carolina? And a big piece of that, Catherine, I think that has been talked, that Sean McDermott touched on after the game, is that they got to start fast. If you start fast, you don't allow them to get comfortable running the ball, and allows your pass rushers to get the work the way that they did against Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I think the final score of the Carolina game doesn't totally reflect the beginning of it, but you know, early on, it was a real contest. And I think to that point, yeah, if they can start fast and just kind of, you know, get Kansas City off schedule, that'll make such a difference.
They need Greg Rousseau to play the way that Greg Rousseau did play it in that game. And especially that Oliver out. You need your other defensive linemen to be disruptive with when you're rushing four. And Hoyt looks like he's going to be really, he's a really big addition. But when it comes to Bosa and Rousseau, those are two guys that if they can really help them out on the edge, it's going to make a world of difference. Catherine, these Kansas City Buffalo games are always about Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. So it's very strange entering this game for people to be questioning what's wrong with Josh Allen after a game in which they won, you know, they won it 40-9. But a lot of the talk is about the passing game, and there's a lot of reasons for that.
I was so fascinated by Joe Brady's comments saying they just didn't need the passing game. And there is some truth to that. James Cook was phenomenal on Sunday. And the Bills have, you know, been able to get him going. You see the difference when he's not on the field on some of these situations. But I still, I don't know, eye test. Something was off when you just looked at what was happening with Allen and his receivers against the Panthers and, you know, dating back a few games as well.
Yeah, it's gone back, I think, four games at this point where that passing game just hasn't looked right. Yeah. Certain players have. There have been moments, but there have been too many lulls. And one of those lulls happened in the first half. Josh Allen pointed out himself. He said, I just wasn't good enough. Like, he talked about not trusting his feet, not trusting his eyes. Some of that he speculated was just coming out of the bye week. But, you know, he's set such a high standard that it's really difficult to clear that bar sometimes.
100%.
And I think it's just also figuring out different ways that they can win in, you know, in third down, whether what receiver you're going to. We all know that Khalil Shakir is really good yards after the catch. Dalton Kincaid is very good, especially when they're facing man coverage. But they need a couple of those other receivers to emerge. Now, you can't really point at somebody like Elijah Moore when he was open and Allen missed him. Like, that happens. But without Joshua Palmer possibly for this game, you really do need somebody like Keon Coleman to step up.
Yeah, and I think these matchups, you know, players get so excited for them. It's, I know it's regular season, but Kansas City, Buffalo is just so, I don't know, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think just kind of the way the passing game has looked is not going to hold up to the caliber of what this game should be.
Yeah, you're really relying on that run game to be as explosive as it's been in some of these games this season. And if the run game doesn't work, which we saw against New England and Atlanta, you need to be able to pass the ball. And I think that it was interesting because you heard Sean McDermott express concern about it. Joe Brady downplayed it. And I think that when you're an offensive coordinator, you don't want to raise alarm bells about your reigning MVP quarterback.
Right.
Like, it's instilling confidence, taking on some of that that responsibility on yourself. Like Joe Brady said, some of it's on me, which, you know, hey, you can look at some of the routes or some of the concepts and say, well, this could have been better. But, you know, it wasn't the Josh Allen that we're accustomed to seeing. So it will be interesting to see how quickly he rebounds. Because when you talk to teammates, he's just so obsessive about his craft. I mean, we hear it. It feels like every time they're on, you know, every Sunday, no matter who the broadcasters are, they talk about his throwing motion and all the work that he put in to fix it. So especially with some of the issues that he pointed out himself, how does that look against Kansas City, which their defense hasn't been all that good? I mean, Marcus Mariota was giving them trouble in their last game.
I think just seeing in real time the way Allen is trying to problem solve is what really stands out to me, too. You know, during the game, between series, but even I think back to after the loss in Atlanta, where he spends all this time with Joe Brady in the locker room going over, like, what can we immediately fix? And that's going into the bye. You know, there's not a game coming up right away, but just kind of his ability to self-correct. I think we've seen it at a higher level in other seasons, but it's still there for sure.
Yeah, no, and it's like Kansas City really struggles against play action. It's not something the Bills do a lot, but when they do it, they're very successful. So how you try to attack this team, like Chris Jones hasn't been as good as he had been the last couple of years. Their linebackers are slower. This could be a big Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir game, or at least those are two guys that he can rely on. But yeah, it's... You know, it's funny because going from covering the Sabres, which, let's face it, 14 years out of the playoffs, but then you're covering a team that has realistic Super Bowl aspirations, you do have to really point to the flaws. And I'm sure the Bills coaches, they get a little frustrated by the lines of questioning because it is all about, or mostly about what they didn't do well, because those margins are what are going to make the biggest difference. So while I do understand Joe Brady saying, you know, we didn't have to, he kind of pushed back against the concerns. Fact of the matter is there's going to be games where they have to throw the ball. And the question is, can they do it? Because they weren't able to against New England and Atlanta.
Lance, this will be your first Bills Chiefs matchup. What are you thinking going into it? Well, how are you going to write? How are you preparing?
They've played 9 times since the start of the 2020 season.
Yeah.
And a lot of those have been in the playoffs. So it was funny to hear, you know, Bobby Babich said it feels like a division game. And they've seen so many different versions of Kansas City. To me, it's an interesting matchup in terms of, you know, Kansas City, all of a sudden, the NFL's funny because the narratives just kind of shape-shift every week on what people say about certain teams. Like at the start of the season, everyone's, is Kansas City cooked? They started slow. Now all of a sudden, people are saying they're by far the best team in football. We'll find out if that's the case. It's just, you know, you pointed out something pretty interesting before we started recording, just the fact that these games, this matchup, it all comes down to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Can the Bills beat them in the playoffs? So how does this team and these players really handle not only all the hype that goes into this game, but the fact that you can't make it your Super Bowl? It's not the end-all, be-all. So how do you toe that line while also understanding that you have to play better than you did last week to beat Kansas City? As much as, yeah, you could look at 40-9 win, but Andy Dalton had open receivers. It's Andy Dalton. Like, this quarterback and this team is just a lot better. So how do the Bills handle it after, you know, I think a lot of people are poking holes in this team because of the opponents they've beaten. But Carolina, I think, in the end, they're going to be an underrated team as far as how important that win was and in a lot of ways, how impressive it was.
I think when these players on the Bills, there's obviously rookies, guys they got in free agency, that this is going to be a little new to them, just this particular matchup. But Sean McDermott talks all the time about calluses. Like, you build up these scars and you're going back to that, and that helps you in the future. But they've got a lot from the playoffs, you know, Kansas City just knocking them out so consistently. I think that's something that guys can look to. Also, like, both from a motivation standpoint, if they need it. I don't know that they need extra motivation for this game, to be honest.
Yeah.
But also, you know, some of it you can look to your point about how it feels like a divisional game for these guys, of tendencies of the players, or, you know, what the team's been doing that has worked, what hasn't worked. It's just they face them so often that, you know, that works in Kansas City's favor as well, obviously. But both of these teams really know each other.
You don't build your roster to try to beat one team, but it's obvious. Coming out of that AFC Championship game, how it went, it did shape some of what Brandon Bean did in the offseason.
100%.
A big piece of that is the secondary. When Benford went down in that AFC Championship game, the Bills secondary did not have a good time. They draft Maxwell Harrison. This is the kind of team they drafted him to play against. Speed, playmaking, but there's so much more that goes into a defense success than one corner, one player. So can the pass rush get home in a way that they haven't been able to? Like, it's always, like, going into the season, I remember working on season preview stuff, like, Joey Bosa was brought in to help them finish against quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
So it is very interesting that, I don't want to call it a crossroads, but you do, like, it all builds up to this point where you face a team like this that it's clear this is the team you have to beat in the playoffs if you're going to make it to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. So how do they look at this stage of the season is at least some sort of a measuring stick for where this group is at compared to, because you can go and look at the other opponents they play. They're not Kansas City.
So. Yeah. Measuring stick was exactly the phrase I was going to use, of just, it shows you what is actually going to work for this team and what is not. And I know there is, you know, what do you want to show in this game if you just kind of know destiny-wise you're going to face them again later in the playoffs? But it is, I don't know, they could use a win here.
Yeah, and especially at home, the last home game they lost.
Yeah.
And New England played really well in that one, of course, but, you know, get back to winning at home and so much. It really does, I think, in a lot of ways, start with that defense, Catherine, starting fast.
Yes.
Their best games this season, that defense has started fast. Jets and, of course, Carolina, it's something they have to do again this coming week, and they had struggled on first drives of the game. A three and out makes a big difference. A turnover makes a big difference. So we'll see how they handle it, because Patrick Mahomes is playing as well as he has, and I would say quite some time, honestly. And a big part of that is just the receiving group that he has is a lot deeper. Just, I don't think that Kansas City's going to be able to run the ball with Kareem Hunt.
No, I think kind of where you look how, you know, they got guys back, but then also lost Hunt. It's like a, who exactly are you going to be come Sunday?
Yeah, no, and the Bills, like, it's just, it is going to be a interesting, like, this is a big Keon Coleman game, in my opinion, because if you're Kansas City and if you've watched the Bills offense these last handful of games, you see that it is a lot of short to intermediate passes, and they're relying heavily on Shakir and Dalton Kincaid. So I think if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going to force the Bills to try to beat me another way. And during training camp, we kept hearing that from the coaching staff that we want Keon Coleman to be the guy who can beat them if they give us a single high safety look.
Yes.
Teams are going to start crowding the box to try to stop Cook. I assume we're going to see that from Kansas City. So can another of these receivers, and Keon Coleman is the guy, they drafted him for this reason, how does he respond? Because Joe Brady spoke glowingly about his approach at practice last week. He said it was the best week that he's had all season. He's blocking really well. Now it's time for him to start testing defenses in the passing game.
Have we? I feel like we've barely talked about James Cook, just kind of.
Yeah, it's a good point.
But I want to hit on him real fast of just like, we've talked about how he impacts other players, but also if he's able to have a big game against Kansas City, that changes everything.
Yeah, because it allows you, especially if they lean on play action a little bit more than they usually do, it opens that up. And it's down in distance. Like, they look different against Carolina because they weren't taking dumb penalties. And
yes.
They were being impactful on first down. That is when the Bills are at their best. So can they do it? Kansas City is going to come in knowing Buffalo is going to try to run the ball. And I thought, as much as there was a lot of, I guess, well-deserved criticism about Brady's game plan and the New England-Atlanta games, I thought what he did against Carolina was brilliant in terms of attacking their weakness and building off of that.
Yeah.
A lot of outside zone. Then he went inside zone and duo. It was... they're going to need something very similar to attack Kansas City's weaknesses. It's just a big test for this team in general. We're going to know, I think, a lot more about them coming out of it.
Exciting times.
It is. And we will have you covered every step of the way. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. We'll be back with you next week to preview the Miami game.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations. Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.